Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk to David a little bit about some three umpire experience that he had recently.
Yeah, so very recently. And it was a really awesome experience. Had a great crew. So four-person crew for a six, possibly seven-game series. It's not a series between the same people, same teams, but same crew for six, possibly seven games. And it was a fantastic experience to get to spend some time with some other umpires that actually do three-person a whole heck of a lot more than I do, which doesn't take much.
Yeah. Right?
So, but it was a great time. And I thought there was a lot going through my mind. And I thought some of the listeners might enjoy kind of hearing a little bit about it.
Yeah. So first off, so you said there's four people to rotate. So, but it was only a three umpire system.
Correct.
So what did the fourth person just have a break, or what did the fourth person do when they were not on the field?
They were in the video review booth.
Ooh, fancy.
Tent table under the canopy.
Yeah.
So, on an iPad type thing. So that was the first experience with that as well. So it was really cool.
Awesome.
So we went through a standard kind of rotation. So game one, I actually had the plate for game one. And we'll talk about kind of how I did at some of these. Second game was a U3. One that I'm not at all in the least bit proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Third game was a U1, and then my fourth game was actually on the video review, and that was day one.
Nice. So you guys did all four games on game one on day one.
Four games on day one.
How did that? What time frame are we talking about from when to when? Like how long during the day? 8 hours? Like,
ooh, I think we did. I think the first game was at 10 a.m.
Uh huh.
And the last game, I think it was 10, 12, 30, 3, and 5:30 maybe. Yeah, I think so. The last game was at 5:30, I think. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right.
Nice. That's a pretty good day. That's like summer day. Tournament days kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a long day, especially concentrating as hard as you are, you know, mm-hmm. on games that are this important. It was a mentally draining day for sure. And we'll talk a little bit about that. It caught up to me on my second game for sure. So, but yeah, it was great. The host was very accommodating, you know, nice locker room that we had to use. They fed us really well. So it was actually a really great experience.
Nice. Yeah. So what happened to anything exciting happened in the plate game, or is it just a good chance for you to start to lock in to this experience?
Yeah. One of the things, you know, in preparation for this, there's, for those that do both, you know that there are different movements for the plate umpire in a three-person system than there are in a two-person system.
And we're specifically talking, in this case, these were college games.
Oh, yeah, NCAA. Sorry, yeah, this is NC2A episode. Yep.
The video review probably gave it away, but I mean, it could have been a high school tournament, you know, play or something.
Yeah, I don't, not here in Ohio, but yeah. But so anyway, the plate responsibilities, you know, on a struck ball, on a batted ball, are different in a three-umpire system if nobody chases, and even if they do chase, mm-hmm. sometimes it's a little different as well. One thing that you'll hear people say a lot, especially people that do three umpire systems a lot, there is no holding zone in three man. Well, there is. There's a couple of them, actually, and they don't, I guess technically you could say there's not, because in the NC2A manual, they're called holding areas.
Yeah.
Not holding zones, but there is one between home and third that gets used. It gets used a lot more in two person NCAA mechanics, but there is one in three person as well. So
that sounds more like a difference, a distinction without a difference. So it's like, how many fingers do you have? 10. No, you have 8 and 2 thumbs.
That's right. Yeah. So I think a lot of times, though, people will say it's really easy. One of the biggest changes is that in a three-umpire system, you know, on a struck ball that goes to the outfield, most of the time, the plate umpire needs to be running in toward the middle of the field,
mm-hmm.
in front of the pitcher's area.
Yeah.
Most of the time, whereas in two-person and, you know, USA mechanics, you probably go to the holding zone when
up the line, up third base.
Batter reaches second, you know, type thing. And so they're different. They're just different. So in preparation for that plate game, you know, I did a really good job of studying that and made it my goal and mission to have a good three-person plate game. And what I ended up having was a really good two-person plate game. So I think I didn't get out into the field as far as I wanted to, as often as I wanted to, and that kind of stuff. But I don't think there was anything. If my mentors were watching that plate game, they would go, they'd be kind of like pushing that kind of stuff. But it wasn't a bad plate game. Didn't blow any calls, didn't blow, you know, that kind of stuff. So I thought it was actually a pretty decent game. But and my partners on the field were always right where they needed to be, and so that makes things go really, really smoothly when that happens.
Do you get reviewed at all in when you're on the plate? I'll probably ask at each position, but any reviews of your things?
So we post-gamed every single time, and I usually had little itty bitty small things.
I meant video review. Did any of your stuff go to video review?
Oh no, not in that game. I okay. don't I think the team even forgot that it was available. There were a couple of close plays that we kind of thought, better get that teed up. You know, somebody's going to be asking about that one. They didn't. Not in that game. Anyway, we did have a couple. We talked about that.
All right. So where'd you go next?
Oh, so then I went to U3, and I've done quite a bit of self-reflection on what the happened. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get bleeped again.
Oh.
I said the HE doubles hockey sticks. So first of all, understand this, just like my plate game, there were no bad calls. There was no missed coverage. You know, there was no play out of missed coverage. Let me say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So nothing happened that was a detriment to the game.
Yeah.
But if I watched that, when I watched that game, I should say, I was just so disappointed in several things. And so I want to share those things because I'm using them as, you know, personal points of emphasis as I move forward, you know, in my umpiring career to say, ooh, you can't ever do that again. Right.
Yeah.
Very recently, somebody posted something on one of the Facebook posts that said, how do you shake a bad game?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you may have seen that I commented. It was like 2 days after I had this experience. And I'm like, okay, so I just did this. And what my advice to them was, and it's the same advice to anyone who's had a bad game. The whole game was probably not bad. Right. So there's a lot, you know, 21 outs or so. Right. And so there's a lot that went right, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few things for me that went very wrong. And so I have to use those as points of emphasis for me personally to make sure, darn sure, I don't do that again next time. So what were some of those things, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing, I think, as the root cause to this was my brain. My pre-pitch planning, which I think you'll hear that all the time when people say, oh man, I messed up on that play. It was like, well, what was your pre-pitch planning? You know, did you do that? You probably didn't, right? So I did, but here was the problem. As a crew, we talked about U1 being the most difficult three-person position for newer three umpire people. And I agree. That was when I was at, you know, the NC2A three-person camp at Notre Dame. That was my nemesis spot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like where I got the most feedback. And so U3 is really fairly simple. Now, I'll give an opportunity for people to come at me here and say that I'm going to say that U3, on a fair batted ball, you really have two choices of what to do. When nobody's on base, you have two choices of what to do. Chase
mm-hmm.
or run to second.
Yeah.
And it's really about all you got to do. With the runner on, with no runners, right? That's all you have to do. And then I also have given this advice in the past as well, where two person, you do a lot of reading of the game. You're like, where's that play gonna go? Where do I have to get to? What are my responsibilities once I get there? You know, that kind of thing. And in three person, your responsibility is get to where the book says to go.
Yeah.
That's your job. So stop trying to read so much and get to where you need to go. So,
yeah, in this case, having so many umpires on the field, the mechanics dictate that the coverage, the play will be covered.
Right.
If everyone's where they're supposed to be, you almost can't. Because you got three umpires. Outside of the initial batted ball a few seconds after the hit, first base becomes relatively irrelevant. And now you have the ability to have an umpire per base.
That's right.
You know, so if you get through your progression, and through that progression, you're going to cover some of the movement. And then you're going to be where you should be. So the mechanic is kind of dictating what you're saying. You don't have to sit there and think, oh, do I need to focus more on third and forget about second because the play's not going to go to second? Don't worry about that. Go run to third because someone else got second. And
yeah.
If play goes back and there's a pick, a back pick or something, it doesn't matter. You don't have to, I got to watch for the back pick and two person. I'm way out of position. Nope. You got it.
Exactly. And listeners, don't take that one literally. There's no place in a three-person rotation where you're going to run from second to third. But the rotation
I think I meant a runner.
Oh, okay.
I meant a runner was going second to third.
Gotcha.
And you were deciding, you know, in a two-person, you might have to decide.
That's right.
Am I leaning more towards,
where's the plate?
The person's going to stop at second. They're slow or they're going to stretch to third. They need this run desperately, right. And you're going to do that. And, you know, and I meant the play going that way. And
gotcha.
In college, that was my point, is you never have to think about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So my pre-pitch planning with, back to this idea that, you know, U1 is a more difficult thing, mm-hmm. as I'm quote-unquote coasting through this U3 that I know so well.
Yeah.
All right. I am pre-pitch planning and watching U1 to make sure that I know what I'm going to do next, because game three, guess where I am? U1, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I allowed, and I'm saying this, it was an egregious mistake to allow my brain to do that and to start concentrating on somebody else's job more than I was my own. And so don't do that, because when you do, stuff falls down. And so a couple of things fell down. One of them was I started again reading plays. Can of corn to the right fielder. You know, with nobody on, can of corn to the right fielder. U1 did not chase. Did I make it to second base? Probably not. Maybe a couple steps into fair territory. I was like, oh, she's going to catch that. No, dummy. Run your to second base.
Yeah.
You know, get going. And so that was pretty bad for me. You know, I'm like, oh, no, that's not good at all. And then I had one other really kind of a bad thing happen. So how are we doing on time? Should we?
We're good.
Okay. So here's the really bad thing that happened. Again, I want to say this. No player was impacted negatively, right? No team was impacted negatively. My partners were not impacted negatively. It just is a bad reflection on me.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's a fair chance most spectators watching this would not have noticed these things.
Somebody did see this one. So
oh, okay.
They mentioned it too. So what happened? I'm rotated onto the field. We have a runner at first base. So U3 rotates onto the field behind second base. We actually have a new mechanic in 2025, the 45 degree wedge at mm-hmm. second.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're rotated over there to second base, not very far from it, which is cool. Something else I'm working on. One of the pieces of feedback I got in my U1 was I'm not getting close enough to the bag. When you're on the line and set, you need to be close to the bag. And so that was something I was working on too. But anyway, in this one at second base, I see the ball's hit. All right. So I'm watching the plate, watch the ball cross the plate, ball gets hit. I turn and I look, and the first base person, the runner at first base, has to stop and deviate to go around the second baseman. I immediately threw out the delayed dead ball signal and immediately dropped it because I went, she's playing, the second baseman's playing a ball, right? So the runner was hindered or impeded.
Yeah.
No question.
Right.
And that's what I saw first. And I immediately threw out the sign and then went, uh-oh, nope, that's wrong. So rookie mistake, right? That's not even a three-person mistake.
Yeah.
That's just a dumb rookie mistake. So frustrated about that already. And then the coach actually wanted interference. And so I caused a problem, kind of. Maybe. Okay. You know, the coach might have wanted interference
college,
anyway.
Is interference delayed or is it immediate?
Oh, it's immediate on that. Yeah, okay. That's immediate.
So, okay,
yeah.
So I was wondering, I was like making sure that she didn't think that you were signaling that and took it away and then she wanted it back.
Yeah, so it turns out, we find out later, the coach didn't know that I had done that. But one of the fans, the plate umpire, heard one of the fans say, that other umpire out there had his hand out. Oh, man. I sure did. For a quick second. Sure, just a quick second. And so anyway, then I put it away. And the girl gets thrown out at second base. And the coach wants interference. And oh, I'm sorry. Doesn't get, she gets safe at second, and so coach wants interference. So coach comes out to see me. And I'm like, so the whole time I'm thinking, it gets a little bit worse here too. So I'm standing there as the play happened, and it's done now. And I look up, and my plate umpire has almost rotated all the way to third, as they're supposed to, right? Runner at first only. He's got third, right? We're going to do a rotation, right? First base, U1's got home plate if the play keeps going. Well, the play stopped, and I am vapor locked on how am I going to explain this to the coach as she's walking out, right? And I am standing completely vapor locked. Not running to my position at U3 where I need to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my plate umpire goes, let's go! You know, and I'm like, oh, yes, 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 we should go. so I start to go, and then the coach calls time and comes out. And so I meet with the coach, take the glasses off, you know, side by side with the coach. And she's like, you don't have interference on that? And I said, no, coach, actually, I had the runner go behind the second baseman. You know, mm-hmm. the runner had, they stopped and then they went behind the second base person so as not to interfere. So I do not have interference. Well, would you ask them what they saw? You didn't see any contact? And I said, no, I didn't see any contact, which is a fun question. We can talk about that another time,
yeah.
Right? Interference and contact. I love to have that conversation. A lot of coaches don't understand. But anyway, and so I got my crew together and we talked and I said, this is what I saw. And they said, yeah, that's what we saw. And I said, and she asked specifically, did you see any contact? And they said, no, we didn't see any contact. So he turned around and pointed to her safe. And that was that. Now, you think I was in my head before.
Right.
I am definitely out of my game now. And so another mental thing that has to be addressed, you know, I have to become more, even more focused probably after something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let that go for now. Beat yourself up later, but let that go for now.
Yeah.
Because I was still in my head, and we had the last one for this one, and then we can close the episode down. We can talk about the other positions later. But so I'm still in my head, and we had a fantastic play. Got a runner at third, one out, line drive shot at the third baseman. Third baseman manages to deflect the ball with their glove. For some reason, the runner at third was headed home, but the ball deflected, and the shortstop came up, caught the ball, two steps, stepped on third base, and ran to the dugout. And everybody ran to the dugout. And I go to the middle of the field, and U1 goes, planning on calling that third out? And I'm like, well, I think I did. It was low. It was like it all happened and everybody was running off the field. So I kind of just kind of did one of these numbers. And listeners couldn't hear that, but, you know, down low.
His fist was barely above his shoulder.
Yeah, barely above my shoulder. It's like, oh, yep, got her. Like a whole baseball thing, you know. Yeah. But everybody knew, right? Everybody saw it happen. Everybody ran off the base. But, duh, you're the umpire, dummy. You know, you got to be the one to get her. And in the words of one of our favorite top level umpires here in Central Ohio, you got to pay her off. She got that double play. You got to really get it. And so it's like, oh my God. So those are the three really probably those are quote unquote bad things. Mm-hmm. And they're definitely not good for a good high level umpire. Right. So that needs to be worked on before I can even start to aspire to be a good high level.
So summing that up, one is like, you know, get in the book, which you did. And so that's like you understood your requirements and your responsibilities. But two, as you come in, don't be so confident in knowing those responsibilities that you think you can think about other things, which is what's going to happen next game. What's this other position doing? What's happening in the stands? Those hot dogs look good. Don't think about any of those things. You've got to stay in there.
Yep.
Your pre-pitch planning is important, but and it needs to occur. You know, so don't, like you said, as your pre-pitch, and only occur within the confines of the manual that you're working. So again, in your case, maybe there's not as much pre-pitch planning on, oh, who's, what's this and what's that and what's the situation? Because I might have to make a decision. There's no decision. The decision is I will follow the manual.
Yep.
You know, and so that's the kind of thing where you're at.
Yep.
And two is pay her off, man.
Pay her off. Yes, pay her off for sure. So anyway, I think that's,
we should probably do those two for this time, next two for next time.
Hey, there you go. Thanks for listening.
All right, until then.